This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, some time back, we kind of said we're not going to talk about Roswell much or at all on the Paracast. And that was after we had Kevin Randall talking about his book, Roswell in the 21st Century, where he kind of recanted certainties about Roswell, such as whether alien bodies were seen in connection with the crashed object, and also whether it was a spaceship. So his contention that something happened, but we may never find out what. And then we go back to our old friend Nick Redfern. Now, Nick has written 40 books. And that's just since last week. And back in 2005, he wrote a book called Body Snatchers in the Desert, a totally different picture of Roswell. And at the time, a lot of it was dismissed. Now, since then, he's taken all the evidence he didn't put in that book and additional evidence, and he's assembled a new book that we're going to talk about in our next segment called The Roswell UFO Conspiracy, Exposing a Shocking and Sinister Secret. Sinister, we're going to find out what Nick Redfern has to say. In the meantime, neighbors, if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus, we have something real special for you this week. There's a retired college professor and accountant by the name of Monty Shriver, a guy who grew up in Aztec, New Mexico. And he's an older guy, fellow in his 80s, but he is bright. He has a great memory of what happened. And let's just paint this picture here. So in 1948, he's like 13, 14 years old. He lived in Aztec then, went to high school in Aztec, lived his life for the next 52 years, and never heard anything about a UFO crash at Hart Canyon in Aztec, New Mexico. And then he visits his mom in 2000, and he hears about this Aztec UFO Symposium. And what's this about? So he and his wife spent a year doing research. And most of you have probably heard at least the basics of this. He did do an article, a long article, for Kevin Randall's Different Perspective blog. But the key is that he checked the three books published about Aztec: Behind the Flying Saucers from Frank Scully, the book from William Steinman and Wendell Stevens back in 1986, and the book from Scott and Suzanne Ramsey, and he couldn't verify the witnesses. He went back to his class reunion, Monty Shriver did, and nobody, the people he went to school with in Aztec, New Mexico, nobody remembered a flying saucer crash. Is that the end of it, Chris?
Well, I've always been kind of doubtful, to put it mildly, about any sort of crash at Aztec. And I think that this does, it puts a big spike in the coffin. I don't think it's the final nail, but I do think it pretty much does close the door on it. At least in my mind, it does.
Well, of course, we know that our friend Paul Kimball has referred to the Aztec case as ufology's Dracula. You know, and I think of the scene from one of the old Dracula movies where John Carradine played Dracula, and he has a stake in his heart. And as soon as the mad scientist pulls the stake out, he comes back to life. I think that's what he means about it being ufology's Dracula. I just wonder, though, why it appears that Stanton Friedman still believes in Aztec. I'm kind of concerned about that.
Yeah.
That's about a concern I have about Stan. I like him. I've known the guy for several decades. But I don't know that he's ever actually recanted anything. Do you?
No, once he's taken a position, he's like a moray eel or a pit bull. He does not let go.
Well, I like that metaphor there. Well, you know, it's good to be dedicated to whatever you're researching, but it's certainly good also to take all these cases that aren't passing muster and set them aside. And certainly I think it's long past its usefulness for research, Aztec. It's got to go away. Now, Roswell's another thing. Something happened there. People remember something happening there. Okay? There is a memory of what happened. There was obviously a newspaper story about a flying disc, and then later it's just a balloon. With Aztec, in 1948, in a town of 800 people, there was a weekly newspaper. And you know, in a town that size, nobody can breathe too hard without people knowing about it. And nobody knew about this. Obviously, in Roswell, there were tons of stories. And that's almost the problem, too. There were so many stories to sort out that I don't know. It was very, very difficult. And then, of course, the other thing we haven't really gone into too much. A couple of years back, we had James Carey on, the author of a book called The Rosetta Deception, about the ghost rockets in World War II. At the time, he said he was working on a book called The Roswell Deception. And I suppose he meant that the Roswell was a cover. The Roswell flying disc episode was a cover for some sort of intelligence thing that happened at that time. But unfortunately, I haven't heard from him since. He was booked to be on the Paracast, by the way, Carry On, and never responded after saying, I have a family issue, can't show up. Have you seen any stuff from him on Facebook at all? He seems to have vanished.
No, I haven't. Also, Albert Rosales is another one, too, that kind of ducked us.
Right. I've been in touch with Rosales a few times and said, come on the Paracast, let's catch up. He says, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll do it in August. He said, I'll do it in September. In September, he doesn't respond, and you wonder about people like that. Now, again, I don't know about Carry On. Maybe there is a family issue that's serious, and I don't want to make any prejudgments there. So I just hope we do hear from him, because Roswell is not to me at all of interest as a UFO case. I don't think of it as a UFO case anymore. I was skeptical over the years. But I think if there's any intelligence aspect there and a better way to understand what our military and what our government was up to after World War II, and if there's a key to that in Roswell, it would be nice to know. I also wonder what degree the UFO mystery is influenced by that. Think about how many cases that we heard about may have been the result of test aircraft, disinformation. I'm not saying people don't see UFOs. But certainly at that time, a lot of things were going on. Did you ever think, for example, Chris, if we didn't have a Kenneth Arnold sighting, where the UFO mystery would be now, if at all?
Well, I think there was enough going on there that end of June, beginning of July, where there were quite a number of sightings up and down the West Coast. And I think that we would have had a mystery on our hands that would have, you know, made the public awareness, but I don't think it would have been as dramatic as it was with the advent of the Mount Rainier Crescent sighting by Arnold. But I definitely think there would still be a public face to the mystery, but it probably would have unfolded a little differently.
We wouldn't call them flying saucers, would we?
Probably not.
Because that was good and bad. It was good because it gave something for the public to seize on. Ah, discs in the sky, spaceships, whatever. But if we didn't call them flying saucers, then would have gained the public's attention. Who knows? And remember, what hangs the case with Kenneth Arnold as an unknown is the alleged speed of the craft, 1,200 miles an hour. If it was a lot left, it could have been a test aircraft of some sort. Who knows? In any case, a lot of excitement coming up next, and I'll ask him about Aztec just in passing.
I can't wait to get a copy of the new book. Mine hasn't arrived yet, so I'm going to be going into this blind, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I got mine yesterday. Maybe the post office doesn't like you out there, you know, out there in the wilderness. But We'll cover a lot of things. It's going to be fascinating. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance. For your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, let's just put it this way. The last two times that Nick Redfern was on the Paracast, Chris couldn't make it for different reasons. Maybe one of that was his illness and everything. But finally, Chris had to do all sorts of different things to get back to his home office in time to be here for Nick. You should be honored. Okay, well, there we go. You see, he had nothing to say.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the audience. No, it's cool that he's back on the show again. Yeah, it's because you're like a double act, you know what I mean?
It's, you know, it's like in the old days of Martin and Lewis. It didn't make it until, yeah, until
like
both were there.
Costello, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what really failed was Abbott and Costello. Abbott and Costello were nothing when they broke up. They had no careers or anything. Just totally lost everything. But anyway, we're not Abner and Costello. But seriously speaking here, before we go on with your book of some years back, I think 2005, was it, Body Snatchers in the Desert, I want to ask you quickly here, in light of a special interview we did with After the Paracast, you're familiar with a guy named Monty Shriver?
Monty Shriver? No.
Okay. He is a retired college professor who lived in Aztec, New Mexico in 1948, and he researched that case because he didn't know anything about it. He didn't learn about the case till 2000, and he grew up there, and he basically determined that all the evidence for Aztec could not be verified.
Shock, horror, I would never have guessed.
There we go.
He says with tongue firmly planted in cheek.
But it was fun. You should listen to it. I'll get you the link. In any case, Body Snatchers in the Desert, I think, caught a lot of people in the UFO field flat-footed because it had been the contention of so many people that the Roswell crash involved a spaceship, that there were bodies of aliens seen in connection with the case and everything else. Body Snatchers in the Desert took them in a fascinating direction. Could you give us a brief overview?
Well, yeah, the book came out 12 years ago, and it was one that is sort of very controversial. And the reason why it was so controversial is because ufology has sort of elevated Roswell to sort of almost supernatural holy levels. You know, it's like the case not to be messed with. It's the one that could make or break ufology. And so when you question it, that's why there was so much controversy, not just about the, you know, the theme of the story. It was just because you're daring to question Roswell. But the theme of the book was an explanation for Roswell, which didn't have a mundane explanation, but had a theory at its heart, which arguably would have been as justifiable in terms of hiding the truth as it would be if it was a UFO that came down. And it basically revolved around immediate post-war activity, Second World War activity, when you had, like, for example, the German paperclip scientists coming over to New Mexico, interestingly enough, and, you know, continuing their rocketry work there and high-altitude experiments, but also bringing over what we call sort of a even more clandestine Japanese equivalent of paperclip. And the Japanese were sort of, at the end of the Second World War, they were working on massive balloons, manned balloons that, had the war not ended, they were planning on using to attack the United States. And a lot of these plans for these massive balloons, which would have sort of gliders attached to them, sort of kamikaze type thing, were all brought over as well. And so you have this situation where you have German scientists, Japanese scientists working in New Mexico, and in some of these experiments, which were reportedly early high-altitude exposure experiments, the line was crossed where in some of these large balloon arrays, which didn't have pilots as such, but they were sort of guinea pig, human guinea pig crews, if that's even the right term, but people just placed on board to see what the effects would be. And reportedly they got some of them were Japanese people, others were handicapped people, people taken from asylums and hospitals, and used in what, in simple terms, would be early human experimentation, not unlike the radiation experiments that the Clinton administration investigated and tried to get to the bottom of in the early 1990s. So very kind of a similar parallel sort of, you know, abuses of power and abuses of people in these sort of dark and disturbing experiments. And that reportedly a number of these sort of devices, these craft crashed in New Mexico, one of them on the Foster Ranch in Lincoln County, which became known as the Roswell Incident, and that the bodies that were found were not extraterrestrial, but a variety, in some cases, in these crashes around New Mexico, or in New Mexico, in 47 various ones, that some of them, as I said, had these handicapped people on board. Others had Japanese personnel piloting these things. So it was like a wide array of various experiments, but all under one banner, one program. And I interviewed five or six old-timers for the book who basically told the story as they recalled it and as they were told. And I then sort of added to that with background information on the various, you know, what we know for sure in terms of Japanese balloons and paperclip and that kind of thing. So, you know, that's basically the thrust of it. And the new book, The Roswell UFO Conspiracy, essentially is, brings the book up to date. It's sort of the material that's come through in the last 12 years since Body Snatchers was published.
Now, what's interesting has happened in the last years. As you know, Kevin Randall came out with a book last year, Roswell in the 21st Century. And the notable thing about it is recanting some of the beliefs about Roswell. He's no longer certain it was a spaceship, and the reports of alien bodies could not be verified. There are two aspects of that book.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Kevin's book, and I'm not just saying that. I actually do think that of all the people who are, I know Kevin isn't completely pro-alien with the case anymore, but he's, you know, I think he's still extremely open to it. Of all the pro-Roswell researchers, I think Kevin is the most sort of rational, down-to-earth, an objective one of them in that side of, you know, the camp when it comes to Roswell. And I think, you know, when you read his book and you realize that he has sort of dismissed or put to one side a lot of the body stories as it relates to aliens, you know, that demonstrates an important thing, that even within the what used to be, you know, the very pro community, questions are now being asked as to whether or not aliens really did crash at Roswell. Even if they're not endorsing, you know, the data that I've got, they're still questioning the scenario that's actually been in place for decades, you know, since the late 70s.
Well, the thing, of course, that always bothered me about Roswell is that the first recollections of the case after the initial newspaper story didn't occur till 30 years later, and we know how memories can change, and maybe they were naive about it then, but we certainly know now how that works. We have Nick Redfern with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Nick is in rare form. Nick Redfern, author of The Roswell UFO Conspiracy, exposing a shocking and sinister secret. I remember years ago I was publishing my magazine, Caveat Emptor, and I had a letter from John Keel. And he suggested that Roswell was a Japanese Fugo balloon. Those are the explosive balloons that you were mentioning.
Well, no. What happened was, but you're right what Keel said. There's a chapter in the book all about Keel's theories. What happened was in the latter stages of the Second World War, the Japanese sent these balloons called Fugo balloons across the Pacific to the United States. And they were sort of calibrated where they would get lower and lower and the bombs would explode. And, you know, the Japanese hoped that people would be killed or major forest fires would be started. But fortunately, it didn't actually do too much damage. And it was more like a psychological weapon. You know, people feared these balloons being sent over. Now, what we know for sure is that in the final stages of the Second World War, before the atomic bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the Japanese were boasting that they were going to build these much bigger balloons, which would have gondolas attached to them, which could rise up to like 30,000 feet, be pressurized, and they would be sort of like kamikaze missions with bombs attached, or detachable gliders, which could sort of be released and then just hurtle straight into a city. It kind of almost eerily parallels, you know, what we're hearing with North Korea, that we, you know, they can reach Seattle. It was kind of a similar thing where you're talking about, you know, the Japanese claiming they could reach the United States and, you know, destroy its vulnerability, or invulnerability, I should say. So we had this program which was going to build these massive balloon arrays for the Japanese personnel to go across the United States. Now, when the war ended, a lot of the blueprints for these really kind of really advanced balloons were brought over to the United States, as I said, in a similar situation to Paperclip. The Japanese team that was brought over reportedly worked to build these huge balloon arrays and these detachable sort of lifting bodies. They worked on both of these programs because that's what they were working on in Japan. In other words, you have this situation where Kiel took the view that what came down were the original Fugo balloons. As I point out in the book, the far more likely scenario is that, yes, there's a Japanese angle, but what was being tested were not captured Fugo balloons, but work done on these next generation massive balloon arrays that the Japanese are working on. So as I point out in the book, Kiel got the right country, but he got the wrong balloons.
But considering when he did this, this was the 1980s when he was making the statement. So that was radical.
Well ahead. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the interesting things about Kiel in general, his views on ufology and how he recognized the links between sort of the paranormal and the occult and crossovers. He was talking about that in the 60s and people just ignoring him. You know, he did come up with the Japanese angle in the late 80s and expanded on it in a couple of articles in Fate magazine in the early 1990s. And that's what really kind of started this issue of, you know, well, maybe it was actually a huge balloon after all, which actually the wreckage, you know, when you look superficially, does sound like a huge amount of exploded balloon debris all across the ranch. Again, you know, I think this is why it comes back to, was it a military experiment? In the military, you know, for their theories, the Air Force, although they didn't endorse the weather balloon theory in 94, they came up with the Mogul balloon scenario. You know, they did say, well, we think it was a large balloon. Now, what's interesting is that one of the guys I interviewed, for Body Snatchers, so we're talking about interviews done about 16 years ago, one of them said to me, the best way to hide a classified balloon program is to hide it behind another highly classified balloon program. So, in other words, if it was some sort of huge balloon array with a detachable lifting body that came down on the ranch, well, the best way to hide that is to bring into the fold another classified balloon program that actually operated out of New Mexico as well, namely Project Mogul, which is the one the Air Force stands by right now. And what a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people in the Roswell community actually don't like talking about, is that Mac Brazel, the rancher who found the wreckage, or the debris, however you want to term it, actually said during the course of the time that he worked there, on two previous occasions, military balloons had come down on the ranch. For them to have been two previous ones, and then a third event occurs where somewhat balloon-like material is found, you know, you have to really wonder, you know, what are the chances of a UFO coming down and crashing, and the wreckage actually is balloon-like, you know?
Well, also, you think of the convenience of this, too. As you say, using one balloon case to cover another balloon. And now, all the stories about a flying saucer, doesn't that also help preserve the cover-up?
Well, it does. I mean, what it does, whatever the answer is, right now we cannot prove any of the theories. I think it's the right answer, but I'll be honest enough to admit I can't prove it's the right answer. But what I think has happened is that if it was a dark and disturbing sort of human experimentation kind of event, what I think is that if you can hide part of the story behind like a Mogul balloon or a weather balloon, then that's going to keep the regular media away because, you know, they'll cover it, which they did. But it's not a major story. It's just about how ufology got it wrong. For the UFO community, it makes a great deal of sense to actually promote the UFO angle on one hand subtly, because that would keep ufology away from looking for any answer apart from the extraterrestrial one. In other words, the media is kept away from it with a down-to-earth explanation of a Mogul balloon. The UFO community is kept away from it by spreading UFO stories, so they then won't go after any other angle. And so, in other words, the human experimentation angle is hidden from everybody. And I think perhaps the military's biggest concern is that a major media outlet would pick up on that angle of sort of dark and disturbing human experiments and would legitimately think, well, you know, we could write about that because we're not going to look stupid because we're not a newspaper that's going to support the UFO angle. We're looking into something even more disturbing. So I think it, at all costs and at, in all approaches and directions, there's been an attempt to stifle the truth with multiple scenarios of a far less inflammatory nature than the real ones.
Well, how do we resolve the missing, the 22 months that it must have taken the balloon to get across the Pacific? Because it did, you know, we're talking about July 47, and we're talking about, you know, the war ending August 45.
Well, yeah, that's why Kiel's scenario didn't work, because he said it was one of the Fugo balloons, which were launched in, like, July and June of 45. And there's no way that would have remained not found on the ranch for 2 years. But the Japanese scenario is that the in the same way that the German paperclip scientists were brought over in 45, the Japanese ones were. So, in other words, this massive Japanese balloon array wasn't flown until 47. Do you see what I mean? It wasn't like it was flown from Japan in 45.
Well, so the U.S. actually flew it, is what you're surmising.
Yes, yes. In the same way that the paperclip scientists and the German V-2 rockets were brought over,
right,
the Japanese scientists and their blueprints for these massive balloon arrays were brought over, and they worked on the programs in New Mexico in the same way that the German scientists worked on the V-2 rocket. So, in other words, it wasn't actually flown until the night before it crashed down on the ranch. Now, one of the important things to kind of note in all this is that the reason why, supposedly, and this is the story that unanimously nearly all the sources I spoke to said.
Okay, for now, that's a pretty good stopping point. There's a lot more about that particular situation for Nick Redfern to describe. We've got Nick Redfern. The book is The Roswell UFO Conspiracy, Exposing a Shocking and Sinister Secret. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how we can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Nick's in the midst of a long answer, a long response to Chris's question about this Roswell episode, what really happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, the important thing to note is that, you know, when the German scientists came over and with Operation Paperclip, with the V-2 rockets and other technology, aviation technology brought over. Although that was deeply buried and hidden, it wasn't as deeply buried and hidden as the Japanese program. And the reason being that most of the German scientists, although some of them were ardent Nazis, they were wanted because they were experts in aviation and rocketry. Now, a lot of the Japanese people who were brought over were actually linked to the notorious Unit 731, which, you know, performed just, you know, terrible experiments on people. And a lot of their experiments were done to understand how high altitude exposure, high pressures, low pressures could affect the human body. And there was a big determination at the end of the Second World War to grab the Unit 731 files and even some of the people working on the programs. And this was overseen by a high-ranking military officer, Charles Willoughby, who got the files over into the US. And so the Japanese angle was hidden because a lot of the people on those programs were or would have been, you know, nothing less than, you know, the worst kind of war criminals ever. Whereas, not to say that the Nazis weren't, but a lot of those were just rocket engineers. So the Japanese angle was buried even more deeply. And that may explain why we know today about the V-2 rocket test out of, you know, White Sands, but we don't know much about the Japanese angle, not because, you know, nobody was actually overly concerned about hiding the balloon angle. It was the fact that it would also lead back to Unit 731, and nobody wanted to be linked. And as an interesting aside, one of Charles Willoughby's closest friends was Philip Corso, who wrote the book The Day After Roswell. I mean, they were friends for decades and worked together on classified programs. And I speculate in the book that maybe Corso actually knew the real story and was part of a program, again, to sort of promote the UFO angle. The fact that he was so deeply tied to Willoughby, Willoughby actually ran the program to get the Unit 731 material over. You know, I don't think that is a coincidence. I think there's a bigger story there still to be found.
So therefore, in short, the book The Day After Roswell was really disinformation.
Yeah, I think it was. Now, the problem I have with that book is not that, you know, somebody might know the whole story and decide to tell it. It's just I find it extremely difficult to believe that, you know, we recovered this material in 1947, and within a few years, we were sort of deciphering and replicating alien technology, and it was giving kickstarts to computers, fiber optics, night vision, computers, all sorts of things. It just, to me, it just doesn't hold water.
In case we forget, by the way, neighbors, night vision goggles were being used by the Germans in the 1930s under development then.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from my perspective, talking to people who read the book the day after Roswell and, you know, commented on it, it sort of polarizes people into just two camps. It's either literally true or it's literally false. You know, there really isn't, because it's such a sort of descriptive story and specific, it can only be 100% true or 100% false. And I personally think we need to look further at Corso, not the story, but Corso and his connections with people like Charles Willoughby, and also he actually was involved also with the paperclip program. So, in other words, he was someone who may well have known the truth, and that possibly, you know, when the book came out, it was engineered to again add another layer of the UFO angle to the story. At the very same time, you had the Air Force coming out with the crash test dummy angle for the bodies. And again, it confuses things, but it also keeps things away from the human experiment. You've got Corso championing the alien angle, and the Air Force saying, oh, it's all right, they were just crash test dummies. But nobody's talking about something darker and deeper, you know.
Well, before we go on with other aspects of this, have you thought just how many of these old-time UFO cases, these classic UFO or possibly UFO cases, are also cover-ups for something that had nothing to do with spaceships from elsewhere?
Well, yeah. I mean, a classic example is a lot of people think, you know, the whole Captain Thomas Mantell case, you know, of 1948 was a classic tragedy where that Mantell was possibly chasing a Project Skyhook balloon, these gigantic balloons, which was a classified program at the time. And we know that there was some awkwardness within the Air Force, not wanting to admit, you know, they're in a quandary. They didn't want to admit it was a UFO and then sort of have stories spread that the UFO shot Mantell out of the sky or whatever. But equally, they weren't able to talk about the Project Skyhook theory that they had or suspicions, because Skyhook was still a classified balloon program, and to talk about it would blow the lid on the secrecy surrounding that balloon program. And so they came up with theories like Venus, you know, and things like this, which were highly unlikely. And that wasn't because they were sort of, I don't think, hiding the truth of a UFO event. It was because they were in an awkward quandary where anything they said could blow wide open, as I said, Project Skyhook. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the 50s encounters were from another program called Project Moby Dick, which again flew massive, highly reflective balloons high into the atmosphere, and that was a highly classified program, so people not cleared would possibly think at a distance they were seeing a flying saucer, and maybe, you know, the military would be very happy for people to think they were UFOs because it would act as a good cover. Now, I wouldn't want people to think I've sort of swung totally to the, you know, the debunking or skeptical side. I'm not. There's no doubt in my mind, and I point this out in the introduction of the book, I'm absolutely convinced there is a genuine, real UFO phenomenon. But the more I've gone into the subject, I'm more inclined to think but the real phenomenon of ufology is sort of the more supernatural kind of side of it that Keel talked about and Velez talked about. And I think the nuts and bolts angle could actually have been sort of overemphasized and encouraged to hide some of these classified military programs, which were nuts and bolts, you know. So I think, you know, the more, if Roswell collapses, I think, as a UFO event, I think what will happen is that it would have a spiraling effect where people are going to say, well, does that mean there are no alien bodies in cryogenic storage at Wright-Patterson? Does it mean there's no reverse engineering going on at Area 51, et cetera, et cetera? And so I think ufology, if Roswell does fall, ufology will move away from the nuts and bolts, take me to your leader, aliens, to the more Keelian angle of a paranormal UFO phenomenon.
I'm all for that.
Part of my approach. What's that?
I said, I'm all for that.
Oh, good. But there are people who will resist that, particularly, you know, the old timers who grew up with the books like by Kehoe and, you know, people like Frank Scully and, you know, a lot of the early 50s writers and mid, you know, early 60s writers who championed the idea that the Air Force was hiding the truth of invaders from Mars or wherever, you know. That kind of scenario and that image still sort of holds a great deal of sway for a lot of the elderly people in ufology. And, you know, it's like anything, people resist change when they get older. They get frightened or intimidated by technology. And I think they could get frightened and intimidated by the fact that ufology isn't really what they think it is.
Well, you mentioned, of course, people like Major Kehoe, who influenced so many people in the early years. He got a lot of his information about cases from the government, and he wrote his books in kind of like a detective novel. And he was a novelist also, so he carried that through to his supposed factual writing. And he would tell all the steps he had to take to get these secret cases. And we always wondered when Kehoe got involved with this organization, NICAP, that he had so many military officers, including former head of the CIA, as board members. These are people he knew. And I'll bring this up and we'll talk about it in our next segment a little bit, if you like, whether Major Donald Kehoe was a tool of the government to spread UFO flying saucer disinformation in order to keep people from looking into other things. Not that some of these cases weren't real. I mean, there are a whole bunch of cases that do appear to be of unknown phenomena. But still, Kehoe himself, with all those military contacts, you wonder. We have Nick Redfern with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaway. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.